Welcome to Fearless Dentistry, the podcast where we dive deep into the world of dentistry with your fearless host, Dr. John Gordon. Dr. Gordon will fearlessly guide you through the evolving landscape of dentistry. Get ready to embrace the fearless mindset and revolutionize your dentistry practice. This is Fearless Dentistry with Dr. John Gordon.
Welcome to this episode of the Fearless Dentistry Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. John. And it's a real pleasure for me today to introduce and have as a guest on my podcast, Allison. Now, see if I can pronounce your last name. You pronounce your last name for me, Allison.
Akusier.
That's what I was going to say. So, Allison, it is a real pleasure for me to have you on the podcast today. As we spoke earlier, before we went on the air, we met each other in late September at a conference, Supercharging Your Dental Practice, and you did a wonderful one-hour presentation on Instagram and the importance of marketing on Instagram. And about 5 minutes into that, I knew that I had to have you on my podcast. So I really appreciate you being here with me. And I'm going to read an introductory here for Allison. And so here we go. Innovator Allison is the creator of the Clear Aligner Systemization Method. Allison helps dental professionals streamline efficiencies and to increase both patient and practice satisfaction and health. A native Canadian, Allison moved to Bermuda at the age of 19 to work as a dental assistant. She incorporated a system in the practice that generated high, recurring clear aligner production with little doctor time. She also started social media marketing while working in the practice. She has since helped many businesses develop a wider audience, further their reach, and leverage Instagram to grow their business. With over a decade of dental practice experience, Allison is a sought-after mentor and speaker. She helps dental teams improve culture, increase production, and grow into their full potential. She is certified through an International Professional Excellence in Coaching, is a member of the International Coaches Federation. Allison is a member of Toastmasters International and also has trained with Dale Carnegie Speaking Institution. She is a certified transformational trainer through Lion Speak. Allison is passionate about fitness and wellness. She is an active team member and competitor of the Bermuda National Beach Volleyball Team. Allison is also a certified personal trainer and yoga instructor. Her passion lies in empowering individuals to achieve their ultimate potential and life satisfaction. Allison, that's a lot. And you've accomplished a lot at this point in your life. You've been a go-getter, obviously, and the energy and the passion that I witnessed on you on the stage down in late September, again, I really am grateful you're here and excited about what you can present. I like that last line in the intro. Her passion lies in empowering individuals to achieve their ultimate potential and life satisfaction. Elaborate on that for me, Allison, for our listening audience.
Yeah, absolutely. I love that question so much. I have always been this way. I can't remember a time when I wasn't really, really intensely passionate about living a life for myself that feels aligned, that feels connected to a purpose, that really is me being my best and fullest self. And that was for me my whole entire life. And then I realized that I could actually help others achieve that to some extent and in many different ways. And so when I look at the through line of everything that I do, everything that I've ever done, the foundation of it is empowering myself first to achieve my highest potential and then empowering others to achieve theirs, because I feel this deep intensity of really living a life of purpose and living a life that matters, so that at the end of all of this, at the end of all of our experience, we can look back and say, wow, I did the things that mattered to me, specifically me, because everyone is so different. And I, in all of the ways that I coach and lead and mentor and speak, that's what I really try to do for everyone around me.
You mentioned that you've had this passion all of your life. When did you really realize that with that passion that you needed to do something with it? You know, at an early age, we sense things, but we're going, yeah, I don't know how to do this. Am I really the person to do this? I feel strong about this. What am I going to do about it? When was that for you, Allison?
I honestly can tell you the first memory of feeling like that. I was 10 years old. And wow. I told my dad, actually at 10 years old, Dad, I am not suited for living in this climate. I need to live somewhere else and I need to do something very special and big with my life. And so, of course, my parents were like, oh no, what are we going to do with this girl? I was from a small town. You know, we didn't grow up with a lot of money, but I had this really, really strong intensity, even as a little girl, that I need to see the entire world. I need to leave Canada and I need to somehow help people. I don't know how, I don't know why. I started saving my babysitting money when I was 10. I had a little jar planning to move away already. And I think my parents hoped that it would go away, but it didn't. So When I was 19 years old, I got a job in Bermuda at a practice and I moved myself there. I'd never been there. But I just knew that I had to follow this passion and this desire to grow, just to travel, to see the world, and to ultimately pursue more. I didn't know exactly what more meant, but I just knew it was there. And it was this almost like, it kept me up at night. And it was this very strong feeling. And so over the years, I've learned how to listen to that more, to follow it more, to kind of use the things that don't work to pull you towards the things that do, and then ultimately find the ways to help others in different and bigger ways.
I'm a little bit older than you are, obviously, but you know, that story of your youth, your origin story there is inspiring. I find that energetic and exciting. At 10 years old, you realized and you started mapping out probably to a degree what you felt you needed to do and wanted to do. So you took a big step in moving down to Bermuda from Canada at the age of 19. Without really a clear picture of what was going to happen with you once you got to Bermuda. You got into the dental industry. What happened next, Allison?
So I went to school for dental assisting because at the time it was 2008. I was graduating and we were going through a recession. And I was like, okay, I don't want to travel without a career. I want to travel with a career. And so I did my research and I saw that dental assisting was actually a career that I thought would be around for a long time and that I could really get a job anywhere. Everyone needs help and support with their teeth. So that's why I chose dental, because I felt like it was a fast program that I could get to and then travel as quickly as possible. So I moved to Bermuda, and in that practice, I was just so fortunate to have a dentist that really loved my energy, loved my spirit. And I sat down and I mapped out some goals for us to accomplish in the practice. I said, hey, these are the opportunities that I'm seeing for growth. Let's, you know, accomplish them together. And so he loved that energy. And we started working systematically on achieving and accomplishing goals in his practice. I was certified as an ortho assistant at the time. So one of those goals was to ramp up the Invisalign systems. And so I got that really kind of robust. I created all the systems, and at 24 years old, he's like, you know what, you did such a great job with one system. Let's get you to be the office manager and systemize the rest of the practice. So at 24, again, very fortunate, he invested in my education. I went to the University of Toronto, flew from Bermuda to Toronto almost every second weekend for a year. Wow. And certified as a dental office manager. And then, of course, on the side, I was taking education. I have not stopped taking education on my own. I'm always enrolled in a course. And so I was taking a certification from UC Davis on coaching as a manager. So how do I become a manager that knows how to coach the team to success? So at 24, I was managing practice. I didn't know what I was doing, but I was learning very quickly. And I was able to have so many amazing experiences during that time that helped me grow, that helped me become a better leader. I recognized I needed to improve my communication skills. Started Toastmasters. I really believed in a foundation of wellness, health. So I, you know, was competing in the national volleyball team, decided to do a fitness show, was competing in CrossFit. became a yoga instructor. So I just kept learning and growing. And I had such an abundant platform to learn and grow in that time. And then in 2020, when everything changed, I knew it was my next launch. I'd been in that practice for 10 years. I'd done so much to help change it, shift it, move it. And I knew that the next step for me was to start my own company.
Yeah. Now, are you no longer with that dental office?
No, I've been out of that practice since 2020.
Okay. There was a method to my madness of inviting you to share your origin story and to keep in that particular track is your mindset. And, you know, this started at the age of 10, which again is very interesting because not many 10-year-olds start thinking in depth like you did. But you had a definite mindset at that point. Talk with me about mindset and the relevancy that you saw as it was you were developing your career and then with your coaching.
So I learned very young, and I honestly can't tell you what it was specifically that had me adopt this, but I learned the power of vision and the power of like really deciding, you know, the life, the person, the things that you want and clarifying them. And so the first time I can remember doing this, I was like maybe 16 or 17. I wrote out my vision for the next year. Hmm. What do I want to achieve? Who do I want to become? And it started, I think, in sports really, because I wanted to make the senior high volleyball team when I was a junior. And I remember saying like, this is what I want to do. And it helped me clarify a goal, I think, for the first time that really mattered to me. And then I achieved the goal. And so it kind of continued to teach me that like when you know what you want and you have that vision for that person that you're becoming in the future, it helps you create steps to get there. And the other thing I just had a confidence around was that if I want something, I can work hard enough and I can have the like positive mindset to believe that I could do it. With anything that I wanted in my life, I just started to learn, create a vision for it, have a mindset that it's possible, and then work towards it and it will become true. So that was kind of the methodology that I adopted really early on, but also this optimistic and dreamer spirit, the ability to like dream. I was in a small town in Southern Alberta. You know, my family didn't grow up with a lot of money, but I knew like my dream was to travel the whole world to, you know, have a career that I was really proud of, to have an abundance of money, of friends, of all these things that I wanted, even though there was no evidence of it around me. I allowed myself to create that dream and that vision for myself. So I think that was definitely a big part of it, was just the belief outside of evidence that this could be real and true for me.
I like that. The belief outside of the evidence. That's a interesting, I'm going to write that down. That's an interesting phrase, because we all too often create barriers around our life, our comfort zones, based upon our past evidence in our life. And we let that evidence build that wall in that comfort zone to where we make it difficult or almost impossible for ourselves to step outside of that. And as in your life and as in mine and my practice, I learned early on, Allison, that stepping outside that comfort zone, you don't have to go very far outside. But that's where real growth starts to occur. And growth, and I'm going to call it magic, because once you step outside that comfort zone, it's just, I think my first experience with that was when I went down to the Pankey Institute. And I went through that whole continuum, and I went down there as a young man. And I was exposed to a different style of dentistry than what I went through and learned educationally through dental school. And to try to incorporate that type of dentistry into my practice, I saw it as an enormous challenge. I was almost fearful. I definitely had the imposter syndrome because I was, you know, one of my instructors was actually L.D. Pankey himself. And I thought, there's no way. This is God in dentistry. I can't, but I stepped out my comfort zone, and the joy that I and the fulfillment in my practice that I had was just enormous. Um, Let's talk a little bit about the marketing now with Instagram, because this is really why I brought you on. Well, because of the mindset also. And the mindset's going to play into the marketing on Instagram. And I made notes from some of your reels, and I made notes from my notes that I took in September. And one thing that I have here is attitude towards growth was a phrase that you threw out, and I've seen it multiple times in some of your reels and your information. Talk to us about that, Allison, because I think this is a really huge mindset.
Yes. So I think, honestly, it was my dad that told me this when I was really little, and somehow it really stuck and has evolved so much into who I am today and everything that I do. And he used to say, if we're not growing, we're dying. We're not growing, we're dying. And it used to, of course, like as a young person, kind of annoy me, but I realized so much that we're designed for expansion. Like I really believe that as a human being, we're always moving in a direction. We're always expanding. We're always learning, even if we like it or not, even if it's intentional or not. We're learning things every single day. And so there's an intentionality around that growth that can really change your life. It can change anybody's life. And that has been so true for me, where instead of looking at some of the things that I don't know as inadequacies about myself, I've looked at them as opportunities for me to just learn about them, to understand them deeper, to expand into them. And so I have made a commitment to myself in my life that if I am not learning anymore, then I need to make a change. So that was true in my career when I was in practice. You know, I told myself I will stay here as long as I'm learning and growing, and I will continue to do that. And so I've made a very strong intention. I write a curriculum for myself every single year. What do I need to learn and grow to be the Allison of my vision? And the Allison of my vision isn't a different person. It's just the person that I want to continue to become. And maybe she's kinder or more confident or more resilient or has a better understanding of financial practices, whatever it is. I know who she's becoming. And then I create almost a curriculum and an intention around what am I reading? What am I studying? Who am I surrounding myself with? Who am I hiring as a coach so that I can close that gap? And I think the key with this is because you are going to grow and because you know you need to learn something, you want to learn something, it doesn't make you wrong or inadequate as you are today. So for you to go into the Pink Institute being like, oh my gosh, like the imposter syndrome, because you see this gap in greatness of, okay, I want to be here and I'm here. It's not being afraid of the space in between or feeling inadequate because of that space in between. It's feeling like, okay, this is where I want to be. This is where I am. What are the steps every single day that I can take to slowly but surely get there? And when you do that over time, it's inevitable. And so like, this is where we talk about like manifestation. When we talk about magic, when we talk about creating the life of your dreams, it's possible for anyone. And it just takes knowing and understanding that I'm going to go. What do I need to learn in order to get me to that next level of my life that I want to be in?
Yeah. You know, we hear a lot of people iterate over it again that you're either born with it or you're not. And if you're born with it, hallelujah, you're going to be able to succeed. If not, oh, sorry, but there are seats in the back row. I've never bought into that, Allison, and I know that you haven't either. Talk with me a little bit more about that concept.
Oh my gosh. It just takes believing that what you want and what you desire is possible. Like that's it. As soon as you have that belief in yourself and in life, that optimism, that trust that, you know, if I want something in my life, if I want to create something, I can do it. I just have to figure out how. And so part of it, I think, is it's having the ability to be imaginative about your life. Like people are always looking for evidence that, you know, they're good enough or evidence that it's possible for them. Or they look at evidence of like, well, he has that, I don't. Look at evidence of the stuff that you do have and then create that vision so you can step into it. Because, you know, if I were to just accept kind of where I was born and what I did, I would not be where I am today. I would not have traveled to all the countries. I wouldn't have done a tenth of the things that I've done. It was my ability to imagine my life differently without seeing anything around me that was that way. And so I think it takes a little bit of, just really having the ability to have fun with it and to be imaginative, but then also know that it can be true for anyone, truly anyone. You just have to believe first in yourself and in the desires that you have.
Yeah. All too often, people just don't believe in themselves, and they hide for various reasons in their life. And I find that sad. And so part of my podcast is to help dentists out there. And I know this happens, you know, in your conversation with Laura Brenner, there's a lot of people that struggle with being in dentistry and why I am in dentistry and the dissatisfaction. And so hopefully with my podcasting that I can help people through those processes also. And so that's why, again, another reason I had you on, because I wanted people to see and understand that you can be a youngster, create a vision for yourself, and make a difference going forward. And that you have definitely done, still are doing, and I know you will continue to do. Let's jump a little bit further now, right into the Instagram, because again, that's why I wanted to bring you on board. And you've made some comments about, Instagram. Let's see what it, here it is. Instagram has become non-negotiable. As you see it, if you're not marketing there, you run the risk of becoming irrelevant in the marketplace. Okay, let's talk about becoming relevant through Instagram. And let's cover the whole spectrum here, Allison. Let's speak in terms of someone who is not spent much time on Instagram, hasn't seen the value in it. And then let's go to the seasoned veteran and see what you can do to help them also. So I'm going to turn the floor over to you, and I will ask questions going as you're speaking.
So I really did start my Instagram journey as an office manager marketing my practice. And I realized, I think we can all agree on this, that there is a gap in education, and which is getting better, to be honest, but there's a gap in education between what a patient thinks and sees about the dental industry and what we're actually doing in the dental industry. There's a gap there. And social media has been able to start to close that gap. So when I talk about relevancy, when I talk about the risk of becoming irrelevant, really it's about meeting our modern day consumer people where they are today. And when we look at the data of where people are, the majority of them are on social media. In fact, the majority of them are on social media a lot for many hours. And they're consuming content about everything that our world has to offer. And so the passion that I have about social media for dentistry is that we have a duty to educate our patients, our consumers, on how we help them in the bigger picture of their life. So like our oral hygiene, our oral health, everything that dentists do creates such a difference in quality of life for our consumer, and they don't even know it. Again, they're starting to, but we're in our dental office every single day educating our patients. And when we can do that on a scale of social media to the masses, what it's going to do is help people understand better how dentistry helps change their lives. And so I got to see a practice, my practice in Bermuda. We were such a good team. We did so much for our patients to make sure that they could afford treatment, that they could have the treatment. We did so many amazing things in our practice. But from the outside perspective, people had their own assumptions. They just knew what they knew. And so how do we teach our patients more about who we are, what we do, how we serve on social media in a place that they're every single day so that they can have that better understanding? And so when I talk to doctors and dentists about this, when I talk to clinicians or anyone in the dental industry, my whole goal is to pull back the curtain on what dentistry really does. And in a way that's faster and more efficient, it's free to be on social media and it will help more people. So if you're not on social media right now, if you don't have an Instagram page, it's almost like you don't have a phone number or you don't have a website. That's how important it's becoming. And that's how passionate I am about it. It's not about making more money and, you know, being more successful in your business, although it does help. It's more about how are we educating from an industry perspective, how we really make an impact in patients' lives consistently.
Interesting thought there. If you don't have social media, it's like having no telephone or telephone number or website. How would you, with your experience and what you've observed, Allison, over the last number of years, what's more important, social media presence or a website?
I can't say that they're even comparable, really. I would say if you have a website, you know, there are ways that people can find you. But if you don't have social media, you're seen as not modern, or that you don't believe in digital technology, or that you're not trustworthy. So social media, again, because it has been such a way that we as people get to see inside of a business, inside of a practice, inside of the lives of people, when a business, an intimate business such as dentistry or medicine, doesn't have a social media, it, like, again, the consumer thinks that they're not trustworthy, they're not real, they're not actual people, they're not modern, they don't believe in modern technology, they're going to be hard to work with. And so I would say the tools that a dentist uses, a website or social media, they're so different, but they're both really, really important.
I think what's interesting is with marketing of any type is that when you ask the dentist, what do we need to have on the website? What do we need to have on social media? What do we need to do? We come from the perspective as to the way that we look at it. And flipping the switch and going, no, we need to look at this from the consumer. Like you said, where are they at? Well, you're right. They're on social media. I don't know that I go to websites that much anymore. I may, if I'm really curious. Okay, I should say the dentist, Dr. John, is going to the website. I want to see photographs of their clinical dentistry. I want to see photographs of their cosmetic dentistry. And that's where my critical nature, my judgmental aspect comes in as to, are they someone that I think is a really good dentist and I would go there myself to have work done. But I have to take that element away and go back and say, okay, what would the consumer, and this is, what would they be looking at? What are they feeling? What are they wanting? And all too often, I think I ignored that. I loved external marketing when I was in practice, just loved it. I love the challenge of figuring out the psychology of my consumers. And that was a constant thing in motion. It changed yearly. It kept me on task. It kept me to where I needed to keep my feet on the ground and really understanding the industry, which was fun, but it was very challenging. I love that when you said the consumer feels like we're not trustworthy. That's interesting. Modern, I get that. Real, I get that. But the trustworthiness, I find that interesting.
Yeah, I mean, a website is a static concept, right? Like we go to the website and we see just the location, the team, it's all static. But when you go to an Instagram page, it's alive. Like if you go to my Instagram page right now, you'll see that I was on a webinar last night for BioLays talking about social media. Like it's alive. You get to know me. You understand what I'm up to. You understand what I care about. You see my family. And so automatically, like going to my social media page, people get to know me. They hear my voice. They see my facial expressions. They see that I'm real. And the same is true for a dental practice. So when we look at the psychology of case acceptance even, or even like, let's go deeper, the psychology of love, like the ways that people will fall in love, one of the key concepts is familiarity. Familiarity. And so when a patient can become familiar with their dentist voice, the way that their facial expressions move, the way that they look, it helps them automatically go into that practice with one of those five key concepts that, you know, of course we don't want our patients to fall in love with us, but we want them to love their experience in our practice. We've already solved for one of those. And so when patients come in and they're like, oh, I know you, doc, I know you. I've seen your dog, I've seen your wife, you know, and everyone gets to decide what they want to share on there. But the more that patient can connect and feel familiar to their clinician, the more often they're going to say yes to what we recommended for them.
Yeah.
And so it's just so powerful, you know, how much we can connect without being face-to-face anymore. And something that I use as a strong example is I meet people in the industry all the time. I lived on an island for the first 2 years during a pandemic of my career. And yet I got connected to hundreds of people in dentistry. But when I met them in real life, we didn't shake hands, we hugged. Because we built a connection online, we built a connection on social media, and they said, oh my gosh, I can't believe I get to finally meet you in real life, because they've already met me before. And the exact same is true for our patients. They get to meet us for the fifth time in real life because they met us five times already by being in our presence online.
I find that, you know, the connection online, a number of years back, we would have laughed at that concept, but now it is so very true. And the pandemic, I think, made it even more critical for us due to the fact that we basically were all shut in, and that was the only way that we could connect with the world was online. I think people really started diving into it more seriously and trusting online presence. And, you know, the one thing, again, I love reading and researching these concepts and ideas, Allison. And I recently was reading a book where they were talking about connecting with people and getting to the point to where, what can you do to help people to where they really learn to like you first, and then like goes into trust. So you create that connection. And how to do that online, because when they go to the element of trust, once they really sincerely believe that they can trust you, they then give you permission to take lead, to take control of the journey that they have with you. And I thought that's very interesting. They give you permission to take control. And with my new patient experience that I had in my practice, that was one of my primary objectives, was to gain trust as quickly as possible. And I know that you, with your speaking and going out and meeting so many people, that you could sense this yourself. I could tell to the second when that patient sensed that they could trust me. Their posture became different. Their facial expressions became different. Their speaking with me instead of at me became different. The relationship from that point on became so much easier. That's the challenge with social media. And you talked about it here. What is the best, absolute best way, Allison? Let's just use Instagram, because that's kind of your expertise. What is the best way for the doctors to create that element of connection and trust building on Instagram?
It's really one thing. It really is. It's just one thing. It's authenticity. Just authenticity. And I know that's a loaded word. Sometimes, like, well, how do I be authentic on this platform? Because there's so many different features of it. You know, the platform itself is complex, but how do I be authentic? It's being who you are with your patients, with your team, with your family, and being that way online. And so there was a phase, I think, where doctors thought, oh, I have to dance, or I have to be jokey, or have to be, you know, a certain level of whatever it is that I see as working on social media in order to be successful. And the truth is, you don't. But the problem is, most dentists, most doctors don't even show their faces. They don't talk to the camera. They don't communicate with their patients. And that's, I would say, that's the first step, is getting confident and comfortable showing up online the same way that if you were sitting, you know, if you were sitting right beside me and we were having coffee, I'm being the same way that I would be on this camera, you know, as if you were here in person. There would be definitely presence felt, and there's certain elements, but overall, that's how I will show up on this camera. And the same is true on social media. We're talking to our patients every single day anyways. What is one thing that you could teach or say or connect with somebody online that would be the same that you would in your practice? So authenticity, and I guess just showing up are the ways that would be successful.
Yeah. You know, this saying has been around for centuries, and it's so relevant to what you're talking about is, and I know you've heard this, is that people don't care how much you know until they know and sense and feel how much you care. And that's where, you know, you're talking about authenticity. It's real easy with social media to get caught up with the herd. and follow the herd, and you see this particular person doing this on social media and go, gosh, that looks pretty awesome. I'm going to duplicate that. That's not authenticity. And our consumers, they're really pretty smart. The online world has really educated them. I'm amazed when I'm around kids, high school kids and whatever, I'll talk to them about their social media, their digital, whatever they're doing, because it's fascinating to me how for them it's second nature. They don't even think about it. And for me, it's kind of like a foreign language to a degree. And they just take this stuff and run with it. But the authenticity, I agree. I appreciate that. And sometimes we struggle with creating and listening and understanding our own true self. But when we get to that point and we share that, that's where the connection comes in. How can we, Allison, sit back and really discover our own voice?
Yes. Oh my gosh. And this is where my professional coaching and marketing like intersect so beautifully. And this is the part that I love helping anybody, literally anybody with, my doctors especially, because it's so powerful, not just for getting your voice online, but really your voice in life and in general. And so there's kind of like a four-step process that I take people through that it does. It goes very deep. And the first step is knowing yourself. We're in a very busy world and we're evolving so quickly that sometimes we have to stop and really take some time to get to know who we are. You might be like, well, I know who I am. Who are you today? Not 6 months ago, not a year ago. Who are you today? What matters to you? What are your values? What is the vision for your life? It changes and it evolves. So taking some time, actual intentional time to know who you are. The second step is to accept that person. Truly accept it. Because I speak with a lot of business owners, a lot of doctors, and they're like, well, I wish I was more this, or I want to be more that. That's great. And yet there's an essence and a part of you that is very, very powerful. And we have to be able to accept all of that. So the second step is accept it. The third step is to honor it. You know who you are. You've accepted who you are. Honoring that person means showing up as you are. I see a lot of people get on camera and they look at themselves and they say, oh, my right eye is bigger than my left. My right earlobe seems like it's tilting downwards, and they become almost overly critical of themselves, and they don't accept who they are, and they don't honor that it's just who they are. It's okay. We don't have to be perfect to be seen or heard. We don't have to be perfect to be online. And so it's really allowing yourself to have that vulnerability to be seen as you are. I don't know what it is about camera or social media that causes people to think I have to be different. And that kind of ties into the final piece. So you know yourself, you accept yourself, you honor yourself, and then you truly love yourself enough to be seen. And that takes courage, it takes vulnerability, it takes practice. Because the first time I filmed a video and talked about and spoke about something that was really important to me, my hands were shaking. I wasn't created. I wasn't doing a great job. I wasn't dynamic. I wasn't, you know, there was a lot of things not great about that video, but I had to love myself enough to try and love myself enough to be a beginner. And so I love, and I'm so passionate about that process of taking someone, a dentist, a business owner, a doctor, through that process to be able to show up on camera and feel really good and really aligned and really authentic about who they are, the mission that they're serving, the vision that they have for the future, and feeling so authentic in their own skin.
I like that process there, Allison. That's, you know, if a person does that, that's a little bit of an intimidating stepping stone there to, because we don't really want to look at ourselves that closely. A lot of people don't. It's kind of like the person in the mirror. And if you've ever done that, I've done that. And, you know, to stand in front of a mirror and look at yourself in the eyes and say, who are you? It's really very interesting to do that. Because you can't lie to the person in the mirror.
No.
You just can't do it. I like the word vulnerability that you shared with that. And being vulnerable is something that's in for a man is pretty difficult to do, because we look at vulnerability as weakness. And weakness with men creates shame. And so we have multiple layers with that that we put up to protect ourselves. But I know personally for myself, the times in my life where I've made myself vulnerable at particular moments and times when I knew I needed to, that's when my greatest growth came about. And that's when my greatest understanding of who I was at that particular point. And a little bit of vulnerability I have had to look at and use since I retired a little over three years ago. What do I want to do with my life moving forward? And so I had to really look at myself plain and clear. And I'm going, retirement, putting my book on the shelf, that is not me. You know, meeting you down there at Dr. Tao's conference, I still will go to conferences. I've got two, one in January and one in May that I'm going to, because I want to keep relevant. I want to keep pushing. I'm like you. I'm a constant learner. There's so much out there to learn and so much out there to do. And here I am coming to you and saying, share with me, help me learn how to create relevance for myself on Instagram. I just can't see living any other way.
Mm-hmm. And I will say something that I think is very important for you specifically. There are a lot of young people on social media, a lot of them. This is how we grew up. It's, you know, the world that we live in. But I've had the privilege and the opportunity and the curiosity to spend my life really learning from generations ahead of me. And it's, I think, honestly, it's one of my greatest keys to success is really getting curious about, like, who is Dr. John Gordon? What did he do in his lifetime to allow for him to have success? What did he learn? And we miss that, I think, sometimes when on social media, somebody that hasn't grown up using it innately and intuitively, and it takes that learning curve to learn it, we miss out on the opportunity from learning from people like you on social media, because a lot of people are like, I just don't know how to use it. I don't know how to get myself out there. And so for us as, you know, millennial and the younger generations, I think it's actually critical that we get time to listen to your podcast or to listen to what you have to say in our industry, because we're missing out on so much wisdom and experience and, you know, just life if we don't. And so I just have so much encouragement. And that's honestly one of the ways that I started teaching social media was I had mentors that were just brilliant. And I had the opportunity to sit with them one-to-one, knee-to-knee. And, you know, they were asking me a little bit about social media. And I just felt this intensity that they have to be on there because I can't be the only one to know how brilliant you are, how much you've helped me, because you can help so many people. So I think it's important for all generations to be on the platform, not just consuming the content, but creating it and teaching others. Because otherwise, our generation, we go to YouTube, we go to Google, we go to all these places to find information. But I think what we used to do was we actually would talk to somebody that's been through it before, and we would have mentors. And something that I think is a big misconception on social media is like, well, I only have 100 followers, or I only have 300 followers or 500 followers. Imagine those 500 people sitting in front of you and you giving them your top life lesson, or the one mistake that you made that you wish you couldn't, or the one thing that you wish you would have done differently. That's 500 people in your living room or in your house that you can share that with. So don't underestimate the power of that and the power of sharing your message online.
I think that's a really good point, because we look at social media, we go into someone's page and whatever, we look and go, oh gosh, they've got 250,000 followers. It's like, whoa, they're important. Well, maybe, maybe not. It's not the quantity, it's the quality. The quality of your following, the quality of your message, the quality of the connection and relationship that you build with people. Allison, I don't want to end this without you talking about your coaching platform business. Because that's your livelihood. And I just have a feeling that you're really, really good at it. So talk about that and how people can get a hold of you.
Yes, absolutely. Thank you. I appreciate that. The foundation of my coaching program and me as a coach is empowerment. And so it's empowering teams to take ownership positions and be leaders in their role and in their life. It's empowering doctors to really clarify the vision for their life and their future. And it's empowering the entire dental industry to allow themselves to be seen online, on social media. So I have multiple different avenues in which I coach, and a lot of it all stems from mindset. And my mantra and my business, or my kind of tagline, if you will, is humans first. So we're human beings first, we're professionals second. And when we can develop that great human being, our great mindset, our resiliency, our, you know, vision, our values, that's how we become great professionals. And so everything I do is a foundation of that. And so I work one-to-one with doctors and with practices as their coach for their entire office. I have a clear aligner system program that I teach practices, again, how to empower them to be a clear aligner practice, empower the team to have the skill set, the mindset in order to talk to patients about comprehensive treatment planning, malocclusion. And then I have a service to help practices make over and empower them to get on their social media. So we help them with all of the strategic things, with all of the kind of techie things to help them just get themselves online in a way that's really powerful. So I love what I do because I get to see people grow very quickly. And ultimately, like I said in my bio, or like you said in my bio where you introduced me, is to really empower people to live a life that really matters to them and to step into their full potential.
I could tell down at the course down in Florida, I'm one that I like to observe the audience in total and at breaks and that type of thing. I like to see what's going on. I like to see where the energy is. And I'm pulled towards energy. I just love it. And so I could kind of tell where you were at various times because there was a covey of people around you and there was good energy there and people were wanting to follow and wanting to be in your presence. And I think that speaks volume for who you are as a person, Allison, and kudos to you on that. So you have multiple programs that you do offer dentists and offices, correct?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah. Okay.
So I'm launching a brand new one in January called the Clear Aligner Bootcamp. So that one is where we are taking teams through a 6-month kind of intensive to help them know all of the skill set that it takes to have a really successful clear aligner practice. And then my Instagram makeover is a 3-month program that we really just get you ready to be on social media, have everything you need, teach you everything that you need and build and design everything for you. And then my one-on-one coaching is where I actually go through full life coaching, vision coaching with the doctor. And spend a year within the team, within the practice, helping really realign your culture, your vision, your practices to the ultimate success.
Okay. Sounds wonderful, Allison. I appreciate, and I think your passion, but also your purpose was pretty clear to me today. That is to help, well, you share with us your purpose for doing what you do.
I get so much joy watching people really step into their full potential and like whatever that potential means to you, but not letting people stay stuck in their own mindset, their own fears, their own insecurities, and really feel that sense of self-worth, that the vision that they have for their life, their practice, their family, their career, every single part of it is real and is true and it's so possible. And so the things that light me up and that I'm specifically and especially good at is really helping people activate into their potential.
Yeah.
Again, you get to decide what it is, but most people have no idea and they're only playing in their 10% of it. So that is my purpose, is to help as many people I can in my lifetime step into that full potential of who they are and live a life that's so authentic and beautiful and abundant that they look back on this experience and say, wow, that was exactly as it should have been.
Yeah. That's pretty much the way I perceived it. And I think you and I both agree that I look at people and I really believe that there is a seed of greatness that lies within. And life at times will cover that with junk and garbage and dirt. Part of my mission and purpose, and I think yours is too, is to help them realize that there is that seed of greatness and to cultivate it.
Yeah.
And see where it takes them. Allison, I really appreciate you being with me here today. I will, in the show notes, publish how they can get a hold of you. And I'm going to fully encourage them to do so. I'm 100% confident that they will see a phenomenal, great results in working with you. Is there any last message that you would like to leave with the audience?
I think if you're listening to this podcast and, you know, if any of what I've said resonated with you, then just know that it's true. If there's something that you want or desire or you believe in yourself that's not quite uncovered, follow it. It's real and it's true, and really anything is possible for you.
Well said. Allison, it's been a delight. Thank you for spending time with me today and sharing your powerful insights and messages and being with the audience. I'm thrilled to death. So this is Dr. John. It's been a pleasure spending time with you today on the Fearless Dentistry podcast. We hope that the message and the information today will light a fire, create an internal burn, to where you do seek your greatness and you seek it with people like Allison who will help you get there. So thank you again for being with us.
Thank you so much for having me today, Dr. John.
Thank you for joining us on Fearless Dentistry with Dr. John Gordon. Stay fearless, keep pushing boundaries, and continue making a lasting impact in dentistry. Subscribe for more fearless conversations. Until next time, keep spreading smiles.